Thank you, please. Thank you. Good afternoon to you all. And thank you, Reverend Poynter, for that gracious introduction and for your blessing on this meeting. We have worked together in the past, and I thank you for your continued commitment to making our community a better place. As some of our guests probably know, Reverend Poynter is the chair of the Erie County Poverty Committee, which is already doing good work locally, and we'll touch a little bit more on that later. But thank you for all that you and for being here today. Appreciate it. Thank you to the members of the Erie County community that are joining me here today, the members of the Erie County Legislature. We are also joined by our Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard and our acting district attorney Michael Flaherty. Thank you for all that you do every day for the people of Erie County, as well as to our friends in the rest of the county, or I should say state and local government that's joined us here today. Thank you for that you do with your service of the community. I want to thank Captain Tanya Bringhurst for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance and for your service to Erie County and the United States of America. Thank you. Thank you to Board of Trustees Chairman Stephen McCarville, Executive Director Melissa Brown, and your entire staff here at the Buffalo History Museum for being our hosts this afternoon. This room was recently redone, and doesn't it look awesome? Truthfully, it looks great. It is certainly befitting of the rich history this building contains. In 2016, the people of Erie County will be providing more than $400,000 to the museum to ensure that it can continue its mission of educating our citizens on our region's tremendous history, and we are all thrilled to be with you today. Thank you. And finally, thank you to everyone in attendance here today who braved the rain. I appreciate it, as well as those who are watching at home on Time Warner Cable News, as well as WesternNewYorkMedia.net. Thank you for joining us. It's fitting that we gather here at the Buffalo History Museum, a place where past and present are closely intertwined, and where the rise, decline, and rebirth of our great county are all in evidence. Look around these halls and you'll find ample evidence of the strong historical fabric that is Erie County. For almost 200 years since its creation in 1821, Erie County has been a place of energy, enthusiasm, and opportunity. Drawn by the promise of the Erie Canal, Lake Erie, the Niagara River, and the power of Niagara Falls, our forefathers and foremothers brought with them a spirit of optimism, an uncompromising work ethic, and a desire to build a strong community. Their works are still with us today, and their impact on our community is easily visible. As a community, we are all the sons and daughters of the people that came before. Erie County's identity has been and will continue to be forged by its people. Just as we are products of generations past, so will we help to shape future generations, and we must not miss the opportunity to do it right. We join together to create an Erie County that extends equal opportunity to all and strives for fairness in where we work, where we live, what we earn, and what we do. We work towards equality and fairness that extends across racial, ethnic, and status lines into the cores of our communities, thereby affecting every individual in Erie County. The economic prosperity returning to Western New York presents an opportunity to grow a stronger, more cohesive, and well-planned community, a community that counts its populace, all of its populace, as resources and assets. As our past leaders knew, our people are what set us apart and make us strong. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to say we are succeeding in carrying forth the vision and commitment of our predecessors. We are not only keeping the dream of a vibrant Erie County alive, we are working very hard to expand the dream and the opportunity presented to even more people than we could have imagined just 5 years ago. For example, we are building a stronger economy that works for all. In just the last year, we opened the North Youngman Commerce Center Park in Tonawanda, which is now bursting at its seams with new buildings and new manufacturing jobs. Additionally, much to the chagrin of the old boys network in town, we instituted policies in Erie County at the ECIDA that mandate that pay equity for female employees, because there is no reason why a woman should be paid less than a man for the same work. Thank you. Thank you. I thank the members of the Commission on the Status of Women, some of whom have joined us here today, for helping us achieve these policies and protecting the rights and issues that relate to women. Thank you. At the ECIDA, we also created tax scoff law and clawback positions, policies, to protect taxpayers' money. Internally, we created a fast track for MWBE certifications so that more women and minorities can be part of our economic resurgence. And we have worked with our partners in state and local government to support projects which have created new net economic wealth for our community. And that net economic wealth is in the form of thousands of new jobs. The proof of our success is in the reports issued by the New York State Department of Labor. The unemployment rate is the lowest it has been in more than 9 years, and we are putting in place right now the pieces necessary for our workforce to succeed in the high-tech and green jobs that are being created at the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus and Solar City. Another example of our success in building on the past is how we are protecting public health. Through the creation of the Anti-Opiate Task Force, Erie County is leading the way in developing a community-wide response to the scourge of opiate addiction. Our Department of Health and Mental Health have been at the forefront in educating law enforcement and emergency responders, as well as private citizens, in the use of life-saving Narcan, and have been at the forefront of the lines in epidemic in many other ways, which I will touch on later. We also protected the public's health by passing a local law regulating e-cigarettes, thereby expanding on the work of our predecessors who passed the county's Clean Air Act 2 decades ago. We expanded mental health services in schools through partnership with Say Yes in the Buffalo School District, maintained an active and robust rodent control program that is having positive impact all across our community. We continued a very popular rabies clinic that has been attended by thousands of appreciative pets, and certainly their owners, and along with our partners created the innovative Erie County Health Mall to improve local health outcomes. We are protecting our environment. We passed the first and most stringent microbead ban law in New York State, a law that was emulated by other counties and eventually pressured the federal government to act, which it did when it passed a nationwide ban last year. I thank Legislature Chairman John Mills and Legislator Pat Burke for co-sponsoring the microbeads ban legislation and the entire legislature for its commitment to keeping our water supply clean, not only as it pertains to microbeads, but by joining my administration in investing millions of dollars in the Rush Creek Interceptor Clean Water Project to further that goal. Thank you all for doing that. We also created the Western New York Sustainable Business Roundtable to help our local business community reduce their carbon footprint and improve their bottom line. We expanded our ever-popular household hazardous waste and unused pharmaceutical collection events, and we have instituted green policies at county buildings that have generated savings while wisely reducing our resources. In addition to our environment, we are protecting our infrastructure. Here in Erie County, my administration has invested nearly $100 million over the past 4 years in road and bridge projects to provide the best possible infrastructure for county residents. However, our local investment should be augmented by a greater New York State commitment as well. That is why we will work with our Western New York delegation to secure funding for roads that is equitable to the amount that is being spent in New York City and Long Island. Erie County has more center line miles of roads than Rhode Island, Delaware, and the state of Hawaii all have. And we should receive infrastructure funding that is commensurate with that road inventory. So I ask the members of our state delegation, some of which are here, fight for us in Albany.
You got it.
All right. We are protecting and lifting people countywide. While we have many responsibilities in government, none is greater than ensuring the health and welfare of our citizens. As we know, the diversity that makes our county great also places great pressure on the community as well. Erie County is the sum of all its parts, and even during this great economic renaissance, some of its parts are struggling to make ends meet. In his second inaugural address, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt famously said, "The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much. It is whether we provide enough for those who have too little." What was said in 1937 still applies today. We as a community cannot ignore the reality of poverty amongst us. As I have said before, our community can only be as great as it can be when all the members of the community are strong. Now is the time to ensure that all boats rise with the tide. That is why, as a county, as a community, under my administration, we will continue to focus on issues related to lifting people out of poverty. The progress we have made these past few years are making a difference. In less than a year, we have implemented many of the action items in our Health and Human Services Plan, Initiatives for a Strong Community, as varied as bringing fresh foods and vegetables to inner city neighborhoods labeled food deserts, to completing a chronic neglect study and incorporating its findings into our child welfare response programs, to increasing participation in the SNAP program to reduce hunger. In fact, 11 of the 49 initiatives have been completed, with another 36 in progress. One such initiative, which I know will bear fruit, has been the establishment of the Poverty Committee, chaired by Reverend Pointer, to provide a voice for the needs of our most impoverished residents, wherever they may reside, and for them to be heard and acted upon by policymakers. As I charged them on day one, I do not expect the committee to whitewash the issues we face or the needs of many. Instead, I want them to tell us where we are failing, where we can do more, where we can do it better, and then help us to tailor a response to the issues we face. I'm happy to say the Poverty Committee has been meeting and is starting to make progress, though I know as time passes, we will see even more advancement countywide from the good work of the Poverty Committee. And I thank Reverend Pointer and the other members who are here for their service to this community. Thank you very much. I know no one initiative can address poverty. That is why our response to issues of poverty must be as diverse as our population. As such, we must continue to embrace the different cultures and new Americans who now call Erie County home. Recent immigrants have not only increased our population, but have enriched our lives with new businesses and a sense that the promise of the American dream still holds true. To help our neighbors achieve their full promise, we created the New Americans Advisory Council to more fully integrate our immigrant population into Erie County life, thereby strengthening the fabric of the communities where they reside. These meetings have already provided a benefit to us, as we are working with community leaders to address real problems they face, not what they think or what we think they need. I want to thank the members of the New Americans Committee for their great job that they're doing and continued service on behalf of the people of Erie County. Thank you very much. Elsewhere, we are reaching more citizen needs through our expansion of our social service outreach to libraries all across the county, from Grand Island to South Buffalo to Sardinia and all points in between. Why? Because we know poverty is just not limited to the inner city. It is everywhere. We are promoting self-sufficiency for our seniors through replacing on average 5 vans a year through our Going Places van fleet, as well as planning with AARP to make Erie County a more senior-friendly place to live. We are doing all of these things and more to help all of our citizens reach their true potential, which is an investment in our county's future. Our investment in our community also includes providing modern public safety programs. With the introduction of text to 911, we brought the 911 system into the 21st century and provided a life-saving service countywide. We also changed our 911 translation service provider to better meet the needs of our growing immigrant population, because when an emergency is occurring, every second counts, and our constituents deserve a fast response, regardless of what language they speak. Thank you. Thank you. In addition, our last Erie County budget provides funding for 2 new sheriff's deputies whose primary task will be combating narcotics, and I also provided funding to keep the domestic violence unit in the district attorney's office functioning after federal funding for the program was lost. We are making government work for all, folks. We have on-time county budgets and ended each year of my administration in the black. Our county bond rating is the highest it's been since before I was elected county comptroller in 2005. And we worked with municipalities to create a countywide efficiency plan that not only provides better services to our constituents, but resulted in a tax rebate check being sent to homeowners as well. Now, the core of good government is the mandate to protect its citizens. The safety, well-being, and best interest of all county residents must be at the heart of all that we do and should be the reason for all of our actions. Whether we are working to resolve community issues, coming together as a community to confront a weather event, because we certainly have had those, or responding to a different crisis. Throughout our history, men and women in law enforcement, emergency services, and other public service fields have fearlessly sacrificed their own interests to preserve those of another, and sometimes have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Last July 30th, we witnessed firsthand acts of selfless heroism, carried out by individuals without thinking of their own safety, but rather that of others, including a child directly in harm's way. Those men are Evans Police Department Lieutenant Bradley DiMartino, Officer Jeffrey DeVinny, and Officer Gregory Sarowitz, along with Highland Hose Volunteer Lieutenant Phil Schott. Their efforts on that tragic windy night saved the life of a young girl and put in sharp focus what it means to serve your community. That evening, an emergency call came in about swimmers in distress at Went Beach Park, a county facility. They were struggling in 5 to 6 foot waves and battling a ferocious undertow. Waves were so heavy that evening, they capsized a swift water rescue boat from the Lake Erie Beach Volunteer Fire Company. However, the unrelenting weather did not stop the rescue efforts from shore. At the scene, Lieutenant DiMartino spotted a head in the water about 100 yards offshore, an 11-year-old girl struggling for her life. Without hesitating, he stripped off his uniform and gun belt and immediately made a beeline through the turbulent water to the swimmer. As he got closer, Lieutenant DiMartino himself was being pounded by powerful waves. He drew on inner reserves to finally reach the terrified girl who clung to him for dear life. He started battling back to shore. He was not alone. Officer DeVinny reached them and secured the girl while Lieutenant Sarowitz helped with Lieutenant Schott, Lieutenant DiMartino back to the shore themselves. Sadly, the girl's mother, Mary Creighton, a registered nurse and a county employee, perished that evening while attempting to save the girl herself. Thankfully, these men were there to prevent further tragedy. I ask we observe a moment of silence in memory of Mary Creighton. Thank you. I would like to thank Lieutenants DiMartino and Schott, along with Officers DeVinny and Sarowitz, for their selfless dedication to duty that evening and for their continued service to our community. They put their lives on the line to save a stranger, and they are joining us here this afternoon. Gentlemen, please stand so we may all recognize you. Erie County is truly blessed with people who will do the right thing, without hesitating and without thinking of themselves. It's what makes our region such a great place to live. We are truly the county of good neighbors. It is that spirit of togetherness that is needed to bring Erie County to the next level, that sense that we are all in this together, that we must succeed or fail as a community. Today is the day to act and bring positive change to Erie County. We are making progress as a community and as a region, but we must continue to work together to ensure that the same opportunities are available to all. It is up to us to build on that progress, to do more with what we've been given, and to use this opportunity to strengthen families, individuals, and of course, our community as a whole. A better Erie County is within our grasp if we have the courage and perseverance to work for it, just like Lieutenants DiMartino and Schott and Officers DeVinny and Sarowitz did on July 30th of last year. To paraphrase Teddy Roosevelt, who took the oath of office not too far from this very spot, this county will not be a good place for any of us to live until we make it a good place for all of us to live. As I've said before, our best days are still ahead of us. The promise of a better Erie County that is stronger, more diverse, more inclusive, and more resilient is still there, beckoning us as it did generations before. Right now, we are being rediscovered on the national and international stage as a region regaining its former glory. But we know we are more than that. It's time to take the next step. It's time for us to seize the opportunity to lead and to show the world what we can do. It is time for Erie County to lead once again on protecting our environment. We are entrusted with protecting our precious natural resources for future generations, and our actions today must lead to a cleaner, greener Erie County for our children and our grandchildren. We led the way on microbeads, and my administration is ready to do the same on other pollution. One such way we can make a difference is by diminishing the proliferation of the millions of plastic bags that are distributed in our county each year by retail establishments, which inevitably pollute our environment. These ubiquitous bags hold everything from groceries to takeout food and can be found on any given day, blowing through our streets, littering our landscapes, and ultimately ending up in our waterways. These bags are generally not biodegradable and take a toll on our beautiful natural legacy. To stand by and do nothing while pollution quietly overtakes our community is not an alternative. It is not the course our forefathers would take, nor is it the course our children and grandchildren would approve of. I believe we must join other communities across our nation that have stood up to Washington lobbyists and said, "We will protect our environment." Thank you. Thank you. As such, today I join our county's Environmental Management Council and call for the passage of a local law which will ban all lightweight disposable plastic bags in our county. Now, before such a law can take effect, we must perform an environmental impact statement on such action. And therefore, today I am ordering the Department of Environment and Planning to begin the process to perform such a review and issue an RFP to do one, and I call on the legislature to approve such funding once we get the responses back for the RFP. We have only one planet, folks. We must do our part in protecting and ensuring its future. We need to make every day Earth Day in Erie County. As a sign of our intent and an encouragement to all to implement more environmentally healthy measures, as you leave here today, we are distributing 300 of these reusable bags to diminish the needs for plastic. I'm putting mine in my car, and I hope you will do the same, so the next time I go shopping, I'll use it. Thank you. And I hope you will do the same as well. Working together, we can and we will protect our environment. Erie County also is ready to lead in areas of public health and other issues facing our families. For example, the time has come to prohibit the sale of tobacco products and e-cigarettes with stores with pharmacies. Thank you. We have known for decades the harm tobacco products cause, and as we discussed this past year, we are also learning about the danger electronic cigarettes pose as well. A pharmacy is a place to go for products that help alleviate illnesses. It should not be a place to go to purchase products that cause cancer and other diseases. By prohibiting the sale of tobacco products and other related devices at supermarkets and other stores with pharmacies, we are promoting better health and decreasing the burden on public health. Recently, I was joined by Health Commissioner Gail Burstein and Legislator Peter Savage, as well as other public health advocates from Roswell Park Cancer Institute, to announce a proposed local law to ban the sale of these products at grocery stores that include pharmacies, a move that has already been implemented nationwide by retailers like Wegmans, Target, and CVS. Cigarettes and other tobacco products, as well as e-cigarettes, will still be available at other retail establishments, but they will no longer be available in a place that is supposed to protect health. It is a policy that makes good sense and will result in a cleaner, healthier county. It is supported by the American Pharmacists Association, as well as the American Medical Association. And I want to thank Legislator Savage for sponsoring this legislation, and I call on the entire legislature to work with me to pass this ban by the end of the year. A Another way in which we, Erie County, are protecting the public's health is addressing the terrible opiate addiction epidemic facing our community. As we have all learned recently, opiates are powerful drugs that are highly addictive and run the gamut from pain pills like hydrocodone, OxyContin, Vicodin, Lortab, and street drugs like heroin and fentanyl. As our public health department knows, these drugs are non-discriminatory. They affect poor inner-city youth, blue-collar rural families, as well as wealthy professional suburbanites. Every community in our county has been touched by this terrible scourge. These drugs kill. People of all ages and races are dying from these drugs, whether they die with a needle in their arm or a pill bottle at their side. In fact, during one 10-day period earlier this year, 23 individuals died from opiate overdoses, and they ranged in age from 20 to 61. That is just one reason why the Erie County Department of Health has led the efforts to address this problem. From holding educational seminars for doctors on proper opiate prescriptions practices to training first responders and community members in the administration of Narcan, the members of our health department are working very hard every day to save lives and prevent others from being addicted to these drugs. But there's more that can be done. That is why I declared the opiate epidemic a public health crisis and created the Opiate Addiction Task Force to help our departments of health and mental health coordinate a community-wide response to this crisis. The task force has been charged with many goals, such as helping Erie County develop new community-based paradigms for treatment, to assisting families of those addicted cope with the addiction. One need that has come to light already, even before the first meeting of the task force, but reassured then, was we need a central screening information and referral line. This service would provide law enforcement, ER doctors, and families with a central hub to link addicts with treatment. Working with our long-term partners at Crisis Services, the Department of Mental Health has developed a plan to provide Erie County with this critical service. We also recognize the need for dedicated staff to support the Department of Health's rapidly expanding role as a lead agency in the fight against opiate addictions. These staff will monitor the use and distribution of Narcan, managing an ever-growing network of prescription drug drop-off kiosks, and coordinate the activities and projects of the Opiate Epidemic Task Force. This is a long-term fight that is worthy of allocations. As such, I will be sending over next week a proposal to address these critical needs and call on the legislature to pass this resolution as soon as possible. Doing so will make a difference. We cannot say that a problem exists and we need to address it, then reject funding for the programs that can help reduce the problem. So I ask my partners in government to approve this funding so we can help make a difference in lives, thereby saving lives in the process. Additionally, I am proud to say our efforts in Erie County have been recognized nationally, as I this week was just appointed to a 20-person national commission, 10 county leaders, 10 mayors from across the country to formulate a nationwide solution to this epidemic. Much like our local county task force, the National Commission will examine all the best efforts being made across our country and present our findings and recommendations to the President and Congress by the end of this year. It is truly an honor to serve, and I look forward to learning more about what other communities across our nation are doing so that I can bring those ideas back here to Erie County to help end our epidemic. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The problem of opiate addiction reaches beyond municipal, county, and state borders, across genders and ages, and across socioeconomic status lines. We are all in this together. We must work together to address this issue, and my administration will continue to take the lead in this community until we have ended this epidemic. Thank you. Opiate addiction threatens families, but it is not the only health threat that faces our community. That is why my administration has been and will continue to aggressively combat the danger that lead poisoning poses to our children. While the children of Flint, Michigan face the danger of lead in their water, it is old lead paint on the walls of area homes that puts our children at risk. Unfortunately, our area has a very old housing stock, with many inner city, suburban, and rural homes containing lead paint on their walls from the pre-1978 era. Lead poisoning is an insidious disease, and one that parents often are not aware they're exposing their children to. Young children who ingest lead, either through chewing on paint chips containing lead or breathing in air containing lead paint dust, can suffer serious, permanent neurological damage. It is a risk that can't be ignored, and the county is not ignoring this danger. Departments of Health and Environment and Planning each have programs to address the dangers of lead exposure to children. Some of these programs help monitor children who have elevated lead blood levels, while most address the root cause in attempts to eliminate the risk of lead paint in their homes. In fact, since 2008 through the end of 2015, the Department of Health has inspected 12,733 homes and overseen the remediation of nearly 1,000 homes per year in the city of Buffalo, while the Department of Environment and Planning has overseen the remediation of another 500 homes countywide in municipalities as varied as Angola, Colvin, Tonawanda, West Seneca, and my hometown of Lackawanna. However, we can do more. That is why I am committing $3.75 million of fund balance over the next 5 years, $750,000 a year starting this year, to add more inspectors, case management professionals, and purchase other equipment necessary to address the problem, and I call on the legislature to unanimously approve this funding. If approved, we can substantially increase the number of homes we inspect each year across the entire county, thereby ensuring that homes are truly a home sweet home for our community's children and not a silent threat that is poisoning them. Yet, we cannot alleviate this problem on our own. We need assistance from all levels of government, local, state, and federal, as well as our partners in the private and nonprofit foundations to fix and help us rid this area of our problem. I thank Congressman Brian Higgins for his great leadership on securing a number of federal grants to address lead poisoning, though I ask him and the rest of our congressional and Senate delegations to do more. I also thank Mayor Brown and the members of the Common Council who have joined us here today for the actions they have recently taken to help reduce lead exposure in the city of Buffalo. No matter what other folks do, Erie County will do its part to protect our children from the hidden risk that is lead poisoning. And I call on the legislature to approve this new funding by the end of the month so we may strengthen our efforts to eliminate lead from our area's homes. When it comes to families, there's more we can do to protect at-risk children. That's why I am renewing my call to modernize New York State's Child Protective Service laws. In 2014, my administration proposed and authored 19 separate pieces of legislation to modernize the state's Child Protective Service laws. The law, the original law, was drafted 40 years ago and hasn't changed much since then. Some of these proposals, I'm proud to say, were introduced as legislation in Albany, while others were not. Yet I'm disappointed to say none were passed. In order to better protect children, accommodations must be made for modern technology, changing family structures and societal pressures, and the need for better information for our CPS workers. It is outrageous that the laws of 1973 are still in effect in 2016. It needs to change. My administration will continue our push for passage of this legislation and enlist the support of our Western New York delegation to make it happen, and I hope each and every one of you will support us in those efforts. Another way in which Erie County can be a leader statewide is by strengthening our current ethics laws and setting the standard for others to follow. That is why I have proposed a comprehensive ethics reform package, which will take what are pretty decent county ethics laws right now, passed in the 1980s and the 1990s, and strengthen them for the issues that we face in 2016. As elected officials, we must hold ourselves to the highest standards of ethical behavior. We must never betray the trust placed in us by our constituents, the people of Erie County. And we must work scrupulously to maintain fair and ethical government. As such, I am proposing a new ethics package that would provide more transparency so that our residents know their representatives are playing by the rules. my proposal would bar any elected official, county officer, and even employees from working for any other municipality in Erie County, thereby eliminating the inherent conflict that exists in those situations, as well as requiring every elected official to immediately notify the county attorney's office and the Board of Ethics upon being hired as an employee or a consultant by any third party to ensure that no conflict does exist. Additionally, my proposal requires any elected official to identify to the county attorney's office and the Board of Ethics the names of any clients they or their firm may have that have business before the county. My proposal does not seek the identification of all clients, but only those who do business in Erie County. That way, we will know whether our elected officials and the firms that employ them are working for us or for their clients. My proposal also more clearly defines what is and what is not an illegal gift and fixes all the problems that were created last year with amendments that were passed. Most importantly, my proposal resolves the question whether criminal charges can be placed against those who violate the law. I am an attorney. I think the current law is fairly clear. If you violate the law regarding the acceptance of gifts, you may be prosecuted for a Class A misdemeanor. Not everybody agrees with that opinion. The proposal I present to the legislature will permanently resolve this issue, and I'm glad to say that Legislative Minority Leader Thomas Loughran has agreed to sponsor the legislation. Our current ethics law, as I said, it's not a bad law, but it can be strengthened and made better. This is an opportunity to put better, stronger rules into place that don't deter good people from serving in government, but do provide clear guidelines and practices for elected officials to follow and the public to observe, and I hope you will join me in this effort. Now, when it comes to our employees, county tax dollars should go to employ our county residents. However, that is not necessarily the case because you do not have to live in Erie County to be a county employee. That is wrong. As such, we will institute a residency requirement for all new Erie County employees. In 2013, the legislature actually passed a residency rule, but I believe it had a number of issues with it, so as a result, I vetoed it. The proposal I place before the legislature now, I hope the legislature will join me, because it will resolve those issues, and it will ensure that our employees are also our constituents. By instituting a residency requirement for all new Erie County employees, we are reinvesting in our community and our workforce as a whole. I call on the legislature to pass such a law by the end of this year. Now, Erie County will also lead in promoting our local workforce. We will establish a first source local labor policy in Erie County to help more local workers benefit from local projects. A first source policy would compel businesses contracting with Erie County to employ a certain percentage of their workers being county workers, especially giving special consideration for those from disadvantaged groups. This will help strengthen our community by building a more diverse and racially inclusive workforce. To be applied internally first for construction jobs, this policy can eventually be expanded to other parts of county government as well. In this way, we can guarantee that companies that profit from the contracts of Erie County will use our local workforce on their projects, thereby building new wealth locally and offering new opportunities to more county residents. Thank you. Thank you. When we talk about improving our workforce, one of our best tools to do so is by improving our community college. That is why I have taken steps, along with the legislature, to assist ECC do what it does best, educate and train our diverse workforce for the jobs of tomorrow. President Quinn and I have had many thoughtful conversations on the future of the institution, and I know we both have the best interest of the college in mind. That is why we worked together last year to resolve the long outstanding labor contracts for the Faculty Federation and the Administrators Association. I agreed to provide more operational assistance to the college these past 2 years, and he agreed with me that changes needed to be made elsewhere to better serve the needs of the college. While I think President Quinn does understand the symbiotic relationship between the county and the college, I'm not certain every member of the ECC community does as well. That is why I reiterate my call for the county and the college to create a 10-person operations and strategic planning committee to assist ECC and the county to better address the needs of the college and the greater community. This volunteer committee would be made up of equal members, 5 from the county, 5 from the college. It would jointly examine issues related to the current operating and future direction of the college, especially as it pertains to long-term campus infrastructure needs, as well as examining operational issues that are detrimental to the county, such as community college chargebacks, location of classes, as well as transportation issues. This committee would not supplant the college's Board of Trustees of their duty to oversee the operations of the college, but will assist the county and the college better anticipate the needs of the institution, as well as of our ever-changing workforce. I am ready to name my designees, and I hope the college will as well. Together, we will create a better, stronger community college, which will create a better, stronger county. Thank you. Erie County will also lead in building a more connected county and region. It is time we finally form an effective Erie County Planning Board. Thank you. A comprehensive community vision was thoughtfully developed through the 2-year One Region Forward initiative that concluded in 2015. After countless town hall meetings throughout the region that engaged thousands of residents, hundreds of elected officials, and dozens of municipalities, One Region Forward established a clear vision for our region's future. It's a future that includes healthy communities, diverse transportation options, quality housing, the preservation of farmland, clean air and water, and above all else, tax stabilization and affordability. It's time to support the implementation of this vision with an Erie County Planning Board. Such a board will assist in building an Erie County that is better prepared to address the changing needs of our overall community. It will pool resources and perspectives together to improve our county now and into the future. Now, many communities do not have the resources on their own to align their planning with the Regional Economic Development Council and One Region Forward initiatives. But with a county planning board in place, it would do that. Now is the perfect time to address this issue because Erie County's charter already provides for a region-wide planning board that includes representatives from Niagara County. It was put in the 1970s, but somewhere along the line, the board went out of existence. Our predecessors knew the importance of the planning board. We need to follow in those footsteps. The Charter Revision Commission is meeting now, and I will be submitting to them provisions to revise the county's charter so we, as a community, take a countywide approach to development and, as a result, reduce sprawl, protect our farmlands, and save us from spending millions of dollars in unnecessary infrastructure. And I hope you will all join me in that effort. Thank you. Thank you. In conjunction with amending the Charter's current planning board provisions, I call on the legislature to join me in passing a fair housing policy for Erie County. The American dream of home ownership is at the foundation of our community and represents the aspirations of millions of individuals and families. Yet even in 2016, people who are seeking housing still find themselves the victims of discrimination, despite the provisions of the Federal Fair Housing Act. As we have seen in areas such as pay equity, discrimination will proliferate if given the opportunity to do so, if no one thinks it needs to be addressed, or someone else is working on it. Housing discrimination is quietly taking place in Erie County, erecting illegal barriers to people's dreams, segregating our community, and hindering our community from reaching its full and inclusive potential. Government exists to serve its people, to protect their rights, and to ensure those rights are fully attainable by all. As such, in April, which is Fair Housing Month, and I think I've done enough for March already, I will be sending to the legislature a proposed law which builds on the foundations of federal and state law and strengthens them so it's just not a foundation, but truly makes a home for everyone. Once again, I ask on the legislature to join me in this effort by passing such a law by the end of this year. Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the state of Erie County is strong and getting stronger every day, but we can do better. Now is our opportunity to lead and build the community we have always wanted it to be, one that is dynamic, creative, inclusive, and ready to succeed. But it will take all of us, and we need to get moving now. President Teddy Roosevelt also famously said, "Do what you can, where you are, with what you've got." That is our challenge, as well as our opportunity. It is an opportunity to make our forefathers and future generations proud. It is an opportunity to create a stronger Erie County that is better, cleaner, an Erie County that protects its children, its families, its workers, and of course, its environment. An Erie County that is even better than our forefathers could have envisioned. I know if we work together, we will achieve this vision. Thank you for joining me here this afternoon. God bless you, and God bless Erie County.